He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And the big news for this particular show is the reveal, final reveal last week of the new Chevrolet C8 mid-engine Corvette, which was unveiled to lots of fanfare. Lots of instant articles from the press got out over the internet waves to be read about by both Jay and myself, along with probably millions of other people, including every Corvette owner in America, probably. I was pleasantly surprised in my own way about what I saw on the pictures that I was able to see, which were a lot on some of the magazines. It is a very busy car, however, in my opinion, in the design, exterior-wise and interior. GM is doing another brilliant thing, which is what they did with the last the C7 series. They've loaded this car at the outset, at least so that our magazine seemed to imply, at a starting price of below $60,000, which must mean $59,995 or something like that. It'll be interesting to see how far up the option scale you can go, but I suspect you can hit $80,000 before you're through, depending on what suspension system you choose, which seats you choose, which whatever beyond the basic technology package you can do to upgrade your C8 Corvette. But I did actually overall like it. I thought they had quite a few design cues from the C7 in the exterior design of the car. Of course, they had to show pictures of the front hood up where there's no engine anymore, but a deep trunk for certain kinds of luggage bags and other things that can go in there. The cockpit was interesting in that they've got a really driver-accentuated driver's side to the cockpit with a console in the middle. It's got a, looks like about a, it's an 18-inch line of buttons you can push to set different controls or not. Anyway, Jay, you want to carry on?
I agree with everything Robin has said. I mean, it's
make a note. But is it last week? One of you said instant classic. Is this someone? And I can't remember. Was it about this car or something else? Because my recollection was mid-engine, and that you predicted within a year.
I predicted that, I'm predicting that Chevy Corvette may come back with a classic version, meaning a front engine car. But that's part of me fantasizing and thinking that GM's branding should make Corvette a sports brand, a little like Porsche is. And Porsche, 30, 40 years ago, came out with a second model. When they came out with the 928, it was supposed to replace the 911, and it never did.
No one wanted that.
They went the other way around. They had the engine in the back, and they brought the engine in the front, and that was.
Didn't the VW original Beetle engine used to be in the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
The architecture of a Porsche 911 is basically a Beetle. Initially, the 356 Porsche before the 911 was basically a variant of the Beetle.
Right.
Not to make a long story about Porsche, but we all know that Porsche now has become a brand, a manufacturer that produces not only the 911 that never went away, but they have a sedan, they have a couple SUVs, they have the Boxster. So it's a multi-model sports car company.
Yeah.
And I think GM would be better served in developing the Corvette brand. And you can see in the presentation that's what, the Chevrolet name comes out, but it's never shown in the visuals, in the graphics. It's all about branding the Corvette name, which it should be. And
true.
Anyway,
But back to it, if I may.
Back to it. Yeah. It's a great car. It's a tour de force to be able to, if they put out that car at $60,000 and don't pull off an Elon Musk, $35,000 Tesla 3.
But you've got to put on $25,000 to get what
you
want.
Well, if it is available at $59,999, then it really is a tour de force, because we know that GM is not going to produce and sell that car at a loss. Well, I mean, they will make money on every one.
I saw nothing about optional engines. The original, the starting engine is 475 horsepower, but beyond that, along with the torque figures, which are pretty good, there's a, I don't want to call it, I shouldn't take a name from Tesla, ludicrous mode button somewhere in that button panel that if you push it, you can get everything to set itself so that the car can go to 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds.
Now, when that you're will getting, be an option. There's a sport mode.
I don't know what that, I don't know what that's standard on the panel of buttons, but the panel of buttons is quite something. I don't know how long it'll get to type your way down and figure out how to touch the right one at the right time to get what the right thing you want to do. But it's a very interesting car, I think. Much more interesting than I was leading listeners to believe. I was saying, old Corvette people going to really go for a mid-engine? I think Jay probably thinks the answer is probably many will.
I think
the collectors will certainly add it to their collection.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So it's not it was sounding it's sounding more potentially
the I guess there aren't any available to buy. I was sort of interested because we had a big weekend at Lime Rock this weekend, which Jay's going to cover in a few moments. And I thought maybe there might be a sneak.
No,
General Motors.
There was a rumor, and they tried.
They might to show one might show up at Lime Rock.
Yeah, there is only one.
Yeah,
and they were hoping to get it, but that was a long shot.
So when does it come? Are they taking
production
orders?
Production starts at the end of the year. I'm sure
they've got test mules running around, and the pictures in the automobile magazines were of several different versions of the vehicle, different colors. They've got like 7 interior colors available to go with the exterior colors. So there are those mules are running around. Mules are test vehicles that aren't really allowed to be purchased, but they're going around being tested. GM's got to go a long way, again, as Jay suggests, unlike the Tesla situation, although the cars themselves turned out to be pretty good once they get on the road, is that one of the articles said, the challenge for GM is to make this car good right out of the box so that a lot of them don't have to return to the dealers for upgrades. And it's going to be upgradable by satellite. So technologically, you're not going to have a lot of mechanical upgrades that they can make.
It'll be interesting to see that historically, mid-engine cars are, exotic, but also they are inherently difficult to service because everything is
how do you get in there?
How do you get there? It'll be interesting to see over time how Corvette has solved that issue. The car was designed from the get-go to be, a traditional Stingray, so it has a removable top that is stored behind the engine. And I think that's part of the reason that the back end looks very long and a little bit heavy. But they actually, you can put that top in the back of the engine, and you still have a front trunk. So the car looks actually quite livable. I'd like to see it, side to side with another car. What I was telling Robin on our way here, I'd like to see it side to side, side by side with a Ford GT, which is an absolutely beautiful supercar. But it's also a $500,000 car that's going to be produced and all said and done.
I mean, you could buy
1,000,
right. Almost 10 new Corvettes for that if you want to get one of every color.
Or there's a typo. Now, my question
is... there's a typo.
There's no typo.
What I'm really curious about, though, is are they going to be able to produce it at that cost?
I think so. I don't think GM would ever produce a car, and certainly not a Corvette.
That they can't make money on.
That they cannot make money on. Right. And I think it's a gamble. I think it's a smart gamble. I think they will... I think it's a winner. And kudos to GM.
You don't hear that very often in this room, so.
No,
that's right.
Congratulations.
GM. Did you know GM stopped manufacturing their little diesel SUVs? Oh, you didn't know they made them in the first place, right?
Well, right.
That's also GM.
Headline, GM gives up on diesel crossovers. My first question was, what crossovers did they have? Yeah. And as Jay said to me on the way over, it'd be good if these companies who want to supposedly conquer a particular market in a diminishing market of diesel engine-powered cars would actually try to sell them. It's sort of like the early hybrid car situation was. The dealers, the salespeople don't want to sell what they can't promote adequately and have and get into customers' hands before they walk out of a dealership. And hybrids were certainly one of those. And so the hybrids just never took off in numbers. And we talked about that for years ago. And now they're becoming more interesting as are electric cars, as everybody's getting concerned about global warming and all the other stuff. But here we are, as Jay just said, and I agree. You know, I didn't know there was a Traverse, Equinox and Traverse diesel.
And on the same note, Ford just canceled their
diesel
little
version of the
Transit Connect, the little Ford van,
which would be a very good.
They announced that the diesel version was coming out right about now. Well, they just canceled it before it even came out.
So once
the argument is, oh well, it's a city mover,
And people don't want diesels in the city,
right? And okay,
governments don't want diesels in the city,
right,
even if they're clean. So,
which they are.
And I didn't realize that GM had already given up on the Cruise diesel, which was supposed to be like a 50 or 60 mile per gallon little micro car, but it's probably due to the micro car as well. I think the Cruise is actually being discontinued completely. But
yeah, that's the whole Ohio plant that's up for grabs.
So is the sort of makes you wonder what's really going on. I mean, is this like a diesel canary in the coal mine, meaning they can't really get the clean, quote-unquote, diesel to be clean enough?
No, I think the diesel's clean. So customers aren't coming to the shop, according to this article, the customers aren't coming to buy what GM's offering. But as Jay said, well, we didn't know there were two of them out there that were available, and I have never seen an ad on TV.
I've seen print ads for the Cruise, for the diesel Cruise.
For the Cruise, yes, but I never saw the Equinox.
I saw one ad.
Yeah, okay, that is not going to make a
no. It's not going to make a dent.
No.
But is diesel? I guess is diesel about to become vilified?
It has been vilified, and that's why not seeing any. And even
Mazda's supposedly putting them in. Are they? Is Mazda's diesel come yet? Hyundai is supposed to be having a diesel.
Maybe we'll
something
be,
or other.
Maybe
and
soon
Kia
we'll be.
Too, and
I'm doing my best to promote the.
You are. You may be the
best
the
ambassador.
Manufacturer needs to promote the diesel going forward, but that's another story. What else is going on? Oh, why don't you go into, since we talked about the Corvette and the GT, why don't you go into the Lime Rock weekend, which has just finished.
The IMSA.
And,
the IMSA weekend.
The IMSA
I think
weekend.
It was a very good weekend. I mean,
it was hot.
It was hot. I was on the Midway most of the weekend, all weekend.
Which is all asphalt.
No, not melting because we had fans under our tent and we had air conditioning in our trailer. So we actually were comfortable and did pretty well and were highly popular with the walking public for that reason.
Was that more because you were air conditioned?
Yeah.
No, but were more people, since you've been, just out of curiosity, you were up at Watkins Glen and then you were here. Do you notice a difference between the people who come and are...
No, the demographics are very much the same. The atmosphere is very much the same. You know, the race series is obviously the same because it's a traveling series. So it was at Watkins Glen. It was at Lime Rock. Between the two, it had gone to Mossport in Canada. I don't know where they're off next, but they... You know, every 2 or 3 weeks they have a race. It's a 15-16 race season. the cars that were there were all GT based, so they're all somewhat related to production cars. And there's obviously discussions on how to get these cars homologated, and every sanctioning body has a way of doing that. So the race cars in the big race on Saturday were what they call GTLMs for GT Le Mans. Four GTs, Porsche 911s, Ferrari 488. What did I mention? The Corvette. Yeah.
Any Jaguars in it?
Not in the big IMSA. Race. Not
what
in
about
the,
BMWs? Because I saw the big.
Yep, BMW M8. And they're all, you know, somewhat related to a production car. But the
mostly
sanctioning
the
body,
shell.
The sanctioning body also has rules to equalize the cars, and.
So basically, you're allowed to.
You're allowed to do a lot. Yeah. A lot of money is spent to make those cars very different from what they are on the roads.
Okay.
But it was a great race. It happened to be that the Ford GT won the race and passed the Porsche in the last 8 minutes of the race. So the end of the race was riveting. It was a good race.
And is it a time thing, or does it have to do with driver's skill as well? Just because.
Of course,
well,
it has
so
to do
skill,
with driver's
well,
skill.
Skill is the only way you pass cars and get around the track.
Audi is still the only manufacturer who has made a somewhat of a race car and an autonomous driving race car.
All I can tell you is that in horse racing, if you lose your rider, you don't.
Does Audi have an IMSA?
They did. I don't know if there was one left. Most of the teams that had Audi R8s have been going to the Lamborghini, which is in essence pretty much the same
Audi
car, but with it has a different aerodynamic package that makes it a little more competitive. So people have been buying Lambos.
Are those quattro?
No, rear-wheel drive.
And the Audi's R8s were too, correct?
Rear-wheel
drive. Is that because quattro's been outlawed for racing? Because it's not even effective.
So they're all rear-wheel drive cars.
All right. Next. External airbags are under development. What's an external airbag? It's an airbag that goes off outside the vehicle, and they are being tested in Europe with the ability to know when a crash is about to occur and go off before the actual impact goes on.
I've been waiting for those.
And, I don't know whether they're going to make it to the U.S. or not ever, but it's intriguing to look at the picture here. There's a T-bone crash picture showing a car T-boning into the side of a
vehicle. Now the cars are bouncing off?
It hasn't bounced yet in this picture. Of course, this is a still picture. But who knows how many micro shots were made to get to this one and to pick it for this picture. But the airbag is going to be the whole length of the car. And it's starting in Europe, the test, moving maybe into the mainstream within 10 years, possibly. I don't know. Jay, what do you think?
I have no idea. I have no idea whatsoever. Unlike Jill, I never thought about
non-impact airbag.
The reason that
right
I thought this sounds ludicrous, but
look, this is all about the technology.
Remember back in the day with parachutes coming out of the back of the car
to slow them down.
Yeah.
Well, they do that drag strips.
What I'm saying.
Not very practical on the roads.
I'm just saying that having done that, to me it's a hop, skip, and a jump to making your cushioning your car as it is about to.
Well, you could have one coming out of the roof, I suppose, for a rollover, and maybe you'll get to the point where cars won't get damaged if they have the airbags big enough.
Well, they're
to
so
stop
expensive
them
to fix.
Kids will spend Friday nights trying to roll cars and bring
the airbags out.
I don't know where this is going to go, but it's certainly intriguing to read.
It is interesting, for sure.
And vehicle sales. Let's move to that. We don't have this last external airbag account.
Topic
isn't have very long legs.
I totally understand. But the question of car sales isn't that just a constant, chatter?
Well, there's a car sale going on everywhere. But I'm looking at the customer incentives that the manufacturers are rolling out to try to keep car sales going. Because, as we know, SUVs are sort of taking over the popularity charts as far as the population of cars are being sold. So when you still have got when manufacturers are still producing passenger cars and the sales are slowing, the sales ramp up on them more so than on the hot-selling SUVs and pickup trucks. But the thing that surprised me in this particular chart that I'm looking at and about to comment on is that they've got customer incentives on 2020 models. Now, I haven't seen any 2020 model that I know of. BMWs on the line, but we've got BMWs. We've got Alfa Romeo. No 2020 Alfa Romeos or Dodges yet, but BMW's got them. And they're offering $2,000 to $2,500 or 1% to 1.9% financing, down this chart. We're not going to talk about which vehicles, but the 2019 incentives for the same relative line of vehicles, instead of being $2,000 to $2,500, is $4,750 to $6,750 per car.
For
2019 versions of the same, the same models.
Well, that makes sense.
Or 0% financing to 0.9% financing or 2.0% financing. So the incentives are out there for those that still want to look at sedans. Now, there are incentives for Jeeps and all that, or SUVs, but they're minimal by comparison to what's showing up on the passenger car lines.
Speaking of SUVs, I'm going on an off topic here again. the new Hyundai Palisade, which is...
You saw it live, right?
I saw it live. And so I read the article this morning about the car, and halfway through the article, I'm reading this article about a big SUV, and I forgot what car I was reading about. They're all the same.
Right.
They're all comfortable. They're luxurious.
All have all the safety technology.
They have all the safety technologies. They get crappy gas mileage.
Yeah.
They're boring.
Except for the looks, maybe.
Except.
Did you like the looks of it?
Yeah. Not really. I think the Telluride looks awesome. I think the Telluride, the Kia version,
yes,
looks way more. Yes. Okay. But that's personal. I mean, the Hyundai looks like a Hyundai.
Personal.
The Telluride looks like a Range Rover. I mean, so.
Well, right. Yeah, there's a lot to say in that particular statement because Hyundai does have a very strong visual corporate look on all their cars, which do not look like anything else on the market right now for the most part, other than the shapes of some of their cars looking like the shapes of some of the American vehicles. And I might be saying, you know, as Jay has said also, I think the rear of one of the SUVs looks like the rear of the Jeep Cherokee that I drive.
That's a Toyota.
The Toyota RAV4, you said.
The new one of the new Hyundais, maybe it's a Santa Fe, I'm not sure, looks like a BMW SUV from
well,
the
back. Well, there's a Hyundai SUV version that looks very much like the Ford, not Edge, but what's the smaller one?
Well, while you're working on that, do you want to take a minute and a half for safety tips, or do you want to just skip it?
No, you never skip on safety. I just don't know. What am I going to say about safety?
We can just repeat a lot of it. There's not a lot of new stuff.
How about what?
No, the number of people that I see who aren't looking at the road just staggers me.
Well, that we could say every week.
Well, maybe they have autonomous driving.
Well, maybe they do. And I'm seeing ads for autonomous driving and how groovy it is, and that's great. But it's still... When you're dealing with a generation of people who, you know, kind of don't know the original purpose of what it is that they're doing because it's been...
I don't know how many walkers, people who walk as opposed to drive, are listening to this show, but I'd like to just put in a safety tip for walkers to know what they're supposed to do when they're walking on the sides of roads because...
Be visible?
Other than being visible... There are far too many walkers that are walking in the same line, the same direction of traffic that we're driving in. And let me tell you, I had an incident this over the weekend where there were three cars on the road, myself going one way, two cars coming the other way, and there were walkers on both sides of the road. One was walking correctly facing the traffic, and the other two were walking with the traffic in my lane, but the three cars all were sort of merging or coming into close proximity to each other with the walkers, and the people who were walking in lane right in front of me had no clue that I was behind them, and they were walking side by side on a two-lane road.
Maybe. For drivers, situational awareness. What I mean by
crucially
that
crucially important
is you're looking at in front of you, you're looking in your mirrors. Your eyes should be moving all the time. I always tell people, when you're on the highway, you should know exactly who is on your left, on your right, who's where. I almost got caught this weekend, yesterday on 684. Almost, not quite. When you're driving fast, you tend to forget that there could always be somebody driving faster than you. And there's always somebody driving faster. I don't care how fast you're driving. And you cannot just assume that because you're driving fast, nobody's going to show up on your left, on your right. So constantly move your eyes. Look in the mirrors, left, right, rear mirror. Look,
front.
Obviously, mostly in the front.
Yeah,
but keep those eyes moving and know where everybody is around you.
There will be a test. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarcus. This is Car Keys. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm going.